Not every day you get to go to church and watch Bill dancing fishing bloopers, right? For those of you who are like, what are they doing and why are they doing it? We're in the middle of a series that we're calling Go Fish. And the big idea is that Jesus told his followers to be, that if they would follow him, he would make them fishers of men. In other words, he took these men who were fishermen and used something in their life as an illustration. Said, if you will follow me, what I will do in your life is I will make it so that you... The way you catch fish, you will begin to catch people for the purpose of the gospel, to lead them to the true God, the true King, and you will see people come to place their faith in Jesus because of that. And you just heard a really good fishing story this morning from Norma. We've been doing that as part of this. But I also know that you watch these bloopers. Part of the reason we have such a hard time doing that, we have such a hard time going out and talking about our faith, talking about Jesus, is that we believe our faith fishing will end up like this fishing, that we will make a mistake, there will be bloopers, there will be people who laugh at us, it will be silly, it just will not come out right, it will not work. The truth of the matter is these are a few clips where it went wrong, but if you understand Bill Dance, that's a few clips where it went wrong of years and years and years of catching lots and lots of really big fish. And so, yeah, sometimes when you go out and you do something and you share your faith and you allow Christ to make you a fisher of men, there will be times where it doesn't go well. But keep fishing, keep serving Jesus, keep following him, and keep being a person who lives and shares your faith. And we all like stories, and there's good fish stories, and we like to tell stories. From the time that our kids are little kids, they love stories. I know Grace and Mary, they come in, they've got the books that they want to read. There's a few books on their shelf that they pull out night after night after night as they want to hear a story. And we enjoy telling and sharing stories. And my first question for you this morning is, what is your favorite story? What you don't understand about men is that the reason that we do things like go fishing and go hunting is so that we will have stories. And we like to hang out with a group of dudes. I got a group of guys that we go duck hunting with, right? And every year we do the same thing. We go stand a duck blind, shoulder to shoulder, four of us across a duck blind, and we tell stories. And the amazing thing is that every year we tell the same stories over again. We tell the same stories like we haven't ever heard them, like we haven't ever told them before. This is why guys go to bars. They sit around the bar and they tell their stories. They tell their story, their favorite story about when they were playing football or their favorite story about something they did in their life. This is what guys do, that we hang together, we tell stories. Now, I think ladies do the same thing. It probably looks a little bit different, but we like stories. So what is your favorite story? What is a favorite story to tell about yourself? When we hang out in a blind, there's a bunch of stories that just keep circulating. Like one of my favorite ones that we tell every year is coming up in the duck blind. Well, we're going to start hunting here in about a month again. We'll be standing in the duck blind, and somebody, especially if there's a newbie, a guy who's never been in a blind before, all the stories are coming out. And one of my favorite ones, we were hunting one day over at this place in Illinois, this lake that where they flood a cornfield. We were in our boat hunting, and there was a boat that was about 200 yards away, and this goose was flying through the field, and it was a single goose. It didn't come to us. It went to the other blind, so we were kind of angry and cursing at that boat that it was going to get a shot at this goose. And it shot the goose, and rather than usually if you're a hunter, if you shoot a goose, it either falls or it sails. It sets a wing and it sails and you have to go chase it. But this goose did neither. It folded its wings inside and became a torpedo, went right into the boat and hit the guy in the middle of the boat right in the chest. And from 200 yards away, we heard the guy go, ugh! And we were laughing hysterically. See, that's one of our stories. We tell stories. We like stories. What's your favorite story? Well, here's the deal. As we are following Jesus, our story is one of the big things that God has done in our life as a tool, as a piece of tackle in our tackle box, is part of who we are as we share our faith. Our personal story is a big deal in the way God wants to use us as fishers of men. And so, what is your story? How does your story work out? What does it sound like? How do you tell it? Have you ever told your story? I know a story of a guy, he was trying to share faith with a friend of his, and he kept, you know, bringing up the theology. He kept, you know, the guy he was trying to talk to was actually a learned person, somebody who was very intelligent, and they would get in these heated debates about whether or not Jesus was true, about whether or not we could believe the Bible, about whether or not there is a God, about whether or not the resurrection took place. They would have heated debates, and the guy's purpose was for his friend to become a follower of Jesus, but he kept sharing, and no avail. It just ended up being kind of a standoff. And as he was telling these stories, you know, trying to convince his friend, he went back to another friend who was a follower of Jesus and said, "Will you pray with me? I'm having a hard time. I really want to see this friend of mine come to faith in Jesus, but every time I try to bring it up, it just ends up not going well." Well, there was another situation a little while later where this third friend ended up in the conversation. And the third friend, and as the conversation was going, just looked at him and said, "Would you mind if I told you a story?" And the guy said, "Yeah, go ahead." And he began to tell his faith story about what his life was like before he met Jesus and how Jesus had come into his life, how he had prayed and met Jesus, repented of his sin, how his heart became alive, how he found joy now and peace and beauty, much like what Norma shared this morning. And then he said, he just looked at him and said, "What about you, man? Where are you at?" And at the spot, this man who his friend had been debating and arguing and sharing all that he knew about Jesus, that man turned and said, "I am now ready to become a Christian because I've seen that it's really real in somebody's life." And see, our story can have a big impact on people as we tell our story. So our goal this morning is really to talk to you about what it looks like to tell your faith story. And your faith story is not going to look anything like it's going to be drastically different from everybody else in the rooms, but there will be some commonalities. And it's to show you how to use the commonalities to unfold your story. And so here's another question for you. If you had the opportunity to go talk, and you were in a room where you had the opportunity to talk to the governor and the president of the United States, what would you talk about? What would you share? The reason I raised that question is because in our story, some of you are like, "I would let that man know that." I'm not even going to say it because then I'm into politics and somebody's going to be like, "I can't believe you talked about politics." That's not the point of this question. It's raising an issue because there's a story in the Bible where just this common dude who was on mission for Jesus through the sovereign work of God ended up in a room where he was talking to the king and the governor. And what did he say? And if you have a Bible, we would like you to turn over to Acts chapter 26, and we're going to talk about this guy. His name is Paul. Acts chapter 26. If you don't have a Bible in your rows, we have Bibles for you. We would love for you to have one of those Bibles. Read along with us. We'll be on page 800 in that Bible. And if you don't have a Bible that's yours, or if as we're talking about this series, you're like, "You know, one of the things I would like to do is I would like to give a Bible to a friend," grab it and take it. That's our gift to you. The Bibles are our gift to you. So feel free to take one for yourself or for a friend. We'll be on page 800 in that Bible. And we're going to look at this man named Paul. And when he got the opportunity to stand before the governor and the king, what did he talk about? And the answer to the question is, he told his faith story. He told his faith story. And so let me back up just a little bit and tell you about the situation and tell you what's going on here as he is arguing or as he's in the situation before the king. The way he got there was not what he had devised in his mind the way his life should go. We find out from other places in the Bible that this man, Paul, was preaching the gospel, going to from town to town, city to city, sharing his faith in Jesus, starting churches, leading people to faith in Jesus. He felt like he was supposed to go back to one of the places that he had kind of hung out and spent a ton of his life in, kind of his second hometown, the city of Jerusalem, to take money to Christians who were really hurting because of a famine. But his goal was to go to Jerusalem and then, after he dropped the money off and loved on people there, to leave there and head to Rome. But while he was in Jerusalem, he actually got arrested by the Roman government because there was an assassination plot on his life from several of the leaders, the people in the city of Jerusalem. And so the Romans actually arrested Paul to protect him from his own countrymen. And as he was arrested, he ended up spending almost 2 years just kind of under house arrest in the city called Caesarea Philippi, which is in the northern part of Israel. And as he was hanging out there, he just kind of under house arrest. A couple times he got a chance to talk to people. But in the whole order of events, the governor and the king, this man named Agrippa, called him to talk to him, say, "What's going on in your life? What do you want to share? Why are you here?" All this kind of stuff. And when Paul gets this opportunity, as God has shaped Paul's life, if Paul would have got to shape Paul's life, he would have gone to Jerusalem and straight to Rome. He ends up in Rome, but as God sovereignly shaped Paul's life, he is now has a chance to stand before the two most powerful people in that entire, the Middle East. And he has a chance to talk to him. And what he does is he tells his faith story. And I want to read this, and then I want to tell you how this relates to us this morning. So Acts chapter 26, beginning with verse 4, and this is his, as he is standing before these men, this is what he says. He says, "My manner of life from the youth spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my hope in the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to attain, as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by Jews, O king. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead?" Now, let me tell you what he said. Let me just kind of unpack this, explain. He's standing there. He says, okay, here's the deal. I'm before you. I'm under arrest, all this kind of stuff. Here's my background. My background is that I was part of the most strict religious sect in Israel. I was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were like crazy right-wing religious right, keep all the rules. Everybody, you know, don't dance, don't drink, don't chew, don't smoke, don't do anything. Like, you know, you wear your skirt this long and you never think about wrong things and you don't go to movies. I mean, that if they were living today, that's who they would be. They were really into keeping all the rules of the religious faith. And Paul says, I was like the best one of them. But the one thing that we believed in was we believed that God one day would raise us from the dead. And I'm actually, you know, in front of you today because I hold that belief. That's why I was kind of arrested. But he goes on to say, I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. In raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." In other words, here's what Paul says. This is part of my life before I met Jesus. I was a really strict religious dude, and I was so serious about my religion that I literally became a terrorist against Christians. That's my background. That's my story, Paul is saying. He said, I was so zealous for my way of life, my way of thinking, my religious viewpoint, that I began to chase down Christians, hunt them down, persecute them. I would persecute them so severely that I was trying to get them to renounce the name of Jesus. That's what he says. I was trying to make them blaspheme. I was trying to make them say, okay, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. And when they wouldn't, I would stand over them and watch others kill them and cast my vote for their death. That's my story. And Paul's standing there saying, this is my story. This is my background. This is what I was like before I met Jesus. And then he goes on. He says in verse 12, In this connection, I journeyed to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than the sun that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you to open their eyes so that you may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And so this is what Paul says. Paul says, listen, here's the deal. I was literally on a trip on the way to the city called Damascus, and when I was going to get there, I was going to hunt down the Christians in that city. I was going to arrest them. I was going to persecute them. I was going to watch over them while if they didn't renounce Jesus, they were going to be executed, and I was going to cast my vote that's what should happen. I was that zealous in my religious viewpoint. But while I was on the way, this is what happened. In the middle of the day, high noon, there was a bright light. No, it wasn't the sun. There was something greater than the sun that shined on me. It caught my attention, and we began to hear a voice, and all of us fell to our face because we knew that we were in the presence of something greater than us. And that voice, there was a voice that began to speak to me in my own language. It said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, my response was, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, who you're persecuting. And now Saul, at this moment, realized that as he was carrying out his religious orders to fulfill his religious viewpoint, he was literally opposing the very Messiah that the God he was hoping in, the very Messiah that God had sent, and his hope in the resurrection was going to fail because he was not trusting in the one who gave resurrection. And now Jesus spoke to him, and he said, as a result of this, Jesus told me, this is your life now. Your life is now going to be going to preach me with the same passion that you've been preaching against me. And you're to go to people who don't like Jesus, who don't like God, who don't like me, who don't like Christians, and you're going to stand before them, and you're going to proclaim the same message you've been persecuting. And you are going to be persecuted, but while you proclaim that message, I'm going to do things that are going to blow your mind. And if you went on to read this, Paul would say, and that's been my life. Since then, I have done this. I have vigorously, passionately gone to tell people about Jesus. I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. I am a different person because of what Jesus Christ did in my life. And when Paul gets a chance to stand before the king and the governor, this is what he says. And eventually he looks right at the king and goes, King, do you believe? Are you in? You know our traditions. You know the promises that God had made about a Messiah. You know that Jesus is it. And in a very politically wishy-washy fashion, like most politicians, Agrippa won't choose sides. Agrippa goes, you think in such a short time you're going to convince me to be a Christian? I'll think about it. I'll dwell on this a little longer. I'm not committing myself to anything here where everybody's watching me. But Paul, when he gets a chance, he shares his faith story. And what I want to do is I want to show you that from Paul's faith story, we can model, each one of us can model our faith story. Each one of us can go, you know what? I can tell my story. And every story is different, but every story has some commonalities. Every faith story is going to be my life, my situation, my challenges. And some of us come in a room and our faith story is very simple. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with Christian parents. I grew up in a place where God was part of my life all the time, and I was pretty young and I gave my life to Jesus. And I want to tell you, if that's your story, if you've hung out in church long enough, you've been jealous of the person who gets up and says, well, I was an axe murderer, and you know, I've got tattoos everywhere, and I was on drugs all my life, and then I was walking one day and a light hit me, and you've been jealous of that person. And if you're a person who that's your story, you're like, you know, drugs, alcohol, I was abusive, whatever it is. You look at the person who says, I grew up in a Christian home, and you're like, I wish my faith story could be like that person because I'm ashamed to tell it. And we're all kind of ashamed, and we all kind of think, if I only had that person's story, I'd be good at this. But I want to let you know that God has sovereignly chosen to give you your story and to use that story to make an eternal difference in the lives of people. And so if you're here today, And you're hearing this, think your story. And Paul's outline, it's just a really simple outline. Before Jesus, after. That's your faith story. Before Jesus, after. Learn to tell your faith story. And we're actually gonna give you some homework from this service to do with it. But let's just give a little bit of outline here on how Paul and how we can tell our faith story. Here's a basic outline for your faith story. First of all, my life and attitudes before I met Jesus. My life and attitudes. What was your life like before you met Jesus? I mean, were you a kid who just grown up in a church and it just was part of growing into this, but there were some things that made you realize that you needed Christ? Was there a friend involved? I'm skipping ahead to the next one. I'm sorry. Did you grow up with struggles? Were you in a hard home? Did you grow up and were you an adult and you went through a whole ton of life? But there are things that each of us have that were part of our backstory. Now, my challenge to you is we all have way too much we could share. As you figure out how to share this, what you want to do is you want to focus on the things that left you in need. Something was going on in your life that whether it was because you had an addiction or whether it was because you were empty inside or whether it was because you had kids and having those kids began to help you realize that you needed something more or whether it was something in your life that was just a great challenge or there was a death in your family, but something happened in your life that made you recognize your own sin and your own need for somebody to rescue you. That's what you focus on. And what Paul's, listen to what Paul's was. Paul's was, I really was a crazy religious person, but my religion had led me to oppose the very one I should have been hoping in. Okay? That's his version. What's yours? What my life and attitude before I met Jesus? What was going on in my life? How was my life shaped? What was happening? And what was going on the inside of the person that I am that led to this? And the second part of the outline is this: how I met Jesus. How I met Jesus. What happened in my life that led me to come to a point where I repented of my sin and trusted in Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Maybe it was a friend that spoke deeply into your life. My guess is none of us have Paul's testimony. Well, I was walking down the street one day, this bright light hit me right in the forehead, and at that moment I heard a voice from heaven. That's Paul's story. It's not reproduced anywhere in the Bible. Oh, by the way, what's really funny is every person in the Bible, their faith story is their own. And so is yours. But there were some events that led to you coming to the point where the need that was growing in your life, you realized that Jesus is the one who would meet that need. Maybe you were in a church service. Maybe you were with a friend. Maybe somebody gave you a book to read. Maybe you were just kind of contemplating religion and you were listening to the radio. There's a lady I used to know that she grew up in a Jewish heritage. She was in a family. Her husband was not a believer. She was not a believer. And somebody told her to start listening to Christian talk radio. And so she just started in the car, instead of listening to music, started listening to preachers, and she didn't understand any of them. She didn't know what they were talking about. But she's like, there's something going on here that I have to have interest. And she just started listening to Christian radio on the radio. Just started listening to preachers on the radio. That's so weird. You know, most are like, preachers on the radio? I don't think so. But she just started listening to Christian radio. And one day she's driving down the street and all of a sudden her heart became alive and it all like clicked. And all of a sudden she's like, I get this Jesus thing. And while she's weeping, she pulls over to the side of the road, prayed right there in her car as she's listening to the radio, prayed to receive Jesus Christ, her Lord and Savior. That's her story. That's how it happened for her. But each of us, if we're followers of Jesus, there is something in our life that led us to go, the need that I have is met by Jesus and Jesus alone. Some of us, there is a very distinct, I know it was this moment at this time in this place. For some of us, the path to faith and repentance may have been a little more of a journey. And it's not like there's a bright light moment, but it's more like through a process of things. For some of us, we may have literally had a point where we kneeled down and we prayed a prayer. For others, it may have been more like just you knew that something was new and you were hungry for something more. And it may not have been a prayer, but it may have been just more of like, you know, my heart was alive, my eyes were open. But here's the commonality. No matter what your story is, for us to follow Jesus, there had to be something that looked like what the Bible calls faith and repentance, which means I'm turning from me, I'm turning from the things that I thought would save me, and I'm turning from my sin, and I'm trusting in Jesus. Now, here's Paul. Paul says, I was really religious, and that religion led me to persecute Christians, and I thought I was doing the right thing. And then I met Jesus, and I realize I am nothing but kindling if I don't look to Jesus now. I am opposing the very God that I was hoping to put my trust in. See, he sees it. He realizes there's faith, there's repentance. I trust you, Jesus. I'm turning from my religious way of life that I've been pursuing. And for all of us, if you are a follower of Jesus, faith and repentance is part of your story. It's not going to look the same for every person, but it's part of your story. And at that moment, you met Christ, and Christ made your life alive, and he made you a new person, and there were changes that took place. And so how I met Jesus, kind of second part. The third part then is how has my life changed? Ways Jesus has changed my life. What's different? What's new? What how's my life transformed? Paul's version is, hey, here it is in my life. I was passionate about my religion in this way, and now I'm just as passionate for Jesus, and I have a totally new mission in life because I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Others will talk about joy and hope where there was no joy and hope. Others will talk about forgiveness where I needed forgiveness. But in some sense, way, shape, or form, your faith story says Jesus has made all the difference. No, life's not easy. Life is hard. There are struggles. But I know I don't go through those struggles alone. No, I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers to the questions, but I know the one who does. I now have a hunger to know God deeper, and Jesus really matters to me. I mean, that's gonna be your faith story, and it's gonna look totally different. The things that Christ has done in your life are not gonna be Paul. They're not gonna be Mike. They're not gonna be the person sitting next to you. They're gonna be your story. And my challenge to you is to start thinking about this and figure out, what is my story? How do I tell it? Who can I tell it to? How can I share my faith story? Because every story is a great story. In fact, I hope at the end of the message, I raise the question first, what is your favorite story? My hope is that the next time anybody raises that question, you won't go to a goose hitting a guy in the chest or whatever yours is. You will say, my favorite story is the story of when Jesus met me and therefore I met Jesus. I hope that becomes your favorite story. And my encouragement to you, if you're sitting here and you're like, I don't know if I have that story. Maybe today's the day that you go from before Jesus to after. Maybe all you have right now is just before. Maybe that's all you got. You're like, I feel the emptiness. I have struggles. My kids are a mess, whatever it is. I know I need something. I've been hearing this, but I've never come to the point where the Jesus and after part is true of me. Maybe today's the day where you go, you know, I was in a theater. This crazy dude was preaching. Most of the time we talked, I didn't know what the heck he was talking about, but on that day, something happened in my life where my heart became alive, and I realized I needed Jesus to save me, to rescue me, and I gave my life to Christ that day. Maybe your story is today. The Jesus part is today. That would be awesome. But then just understand, every story is a great story, no matter if it's a story of when you were a kid or a story of growing up. Now, what I want to tell you is, while that is true, there are some ways that we should tell our story, okay? And instead of standing up here and doing this preaching wise, I actually found a video. It's from a teaching series by a guy named Bill Hybels where he talks about sharing your faith. And so we've got a video for you that I want to show you where they not only tell you, they illustrate for you the ways not to tell your faith story. And so we're going to show you this video right now. So check out the screen. All right, so let me tell you my story. My story is this. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad loved Jesus. They kept me in church, and kind of their ideas, if they kept me in church, it would keep me from sinning. So like most kids my age, I learned how to sin in church. But when I was 7 years old, even though I'd heard about Jesus, I'd heard all the stories, I grew up hearing them all the time. When I was 7 years old, I was in a service at my parents' church. We had a guest speaker there, and the guest speaker was talking. To be honest with you, to this day, I have no idea what he said. But I do know that while I was sitting in that service, something happened inside. And the lights literally came on in my life. And I began to understand a couple things. First of all, I understood that even though I was young and I hadn't done all these horrible things, there was a disconnect between me and God because I was a person who chose my own way rather than the way of God. The other thing is I began to see Jesus very clearly. And I realized what it meant that Jesus came and he died on the cross for me. And that he gave his life for me. And that I could have forgiveness because of Jesus. And that night I went to my parents' house. I talked to them for a few minutes and they began to ask me a lot of questions because at seven, you know, they didn't want me making a decision for Jesus. It was based on emotion or lack of understanding. But then they led me in a prayer that night and I prayed something like this: Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've failed you and I need you in my life. I know that you died on the cross and you rose again. And now I turn from me and I trust you. And that night God did something in my life that has changed, that has altered the course of my life. And I'm in my 40s now, and I can tell you that the night when I was 7 years old is the benchmark of my life. And I love Jesus. I enjoy what he does in my life. He gives me joy. He's given me a very clear purpose. I understand why I'm on the planet. And he makes all the difference in the world to me. And if I was sharing that with somebody in the context of a conversation, my next thing would be a follow-up question. How about you? Do you have a story like that? Tell me your story. What happens often is people go, I don't know. Next week's sermon is how you follow up, okay? It's the next piece to tackle. But faith stories, and I'm not an outgoing, I mean, it's a struggle for me sometimes, but engaging people in story can be a great way to move towards that. And your story matters, and God will use your story. And my challenge for you is to have a 1, 3, and 5 minute version of your story, to be able to tell it if it's like that, if you have a little more time, or if you're having coffee and you can share a little more, to have kind of a 1, 3, and 5 minute version of that, but to be able to tell it in the way, I told you it would be better coming from this video than me doing it, okay? And so the next video clip we want to show you, same portion, a little bit shorter, but in this one, you get to hear some more models of what stories might look like. So go ahead and show that clip. here's your homework, okay? Homework number one, if you're here and you're like, all I have is the before, my encouragement to you this week is today could be the day where you meet Jesus and begin the after. And if you haven't trusted in Christ, while we're praying in just a few minutes, my encouragement to you is just to pray a prayer like the one I prayed when I was 7 that says, Jesus, I need you. Please come in my life, save me. I know you died on the cross and you rose again, and I give you my life today. Pray that prayer and just ask God to do that in your life, okay? But if you're a follower of Jesus, 3 things I'm going to ask you to do this week. And if you're in a community group, you're actually going to do these in your community group, okay? The first thing is write your faith story. To take the outline and just put it on a sheet of paper and then start writing it and work on it and come up with a really good way of telling your story. And the second thing then is once you have it, practice it. Grab that piece of paper and find people you know, friends that are followers of Jesus. Say, hey, I want to tell you my story. Will you help me hone it, critique it so that it doesn't have all the things, you know, that they talked about, that Bill talked about in there where somebody can say, well, that part there, you used the word that I think most people wouldn't understand. You know, if you say, well, and I was sanctified after that, you know, what does that mean? Most people won't understand that. And so help, you know, just tell it to a few people. And then the third challenge is to tell it to at least one person who is not a follower of Jesus this week or that you don't know. And the place to begin for those of you who've been hanging out is the people you're praying for. If you've been with us so far, we gave you a card like this. If you don't have a card like this, you haven't picked one of these up, we have these out in the foyer. These have been our prayer cards. And I've got mine. There's 4 cards on here. It's perforated so you can tear them apart, okay? And once you tear them apart, you get 4 cards. What we've asked you to do is put, it's a Jesus fish with 3 names, or 3 lines. We're asking you to put 3 names. We're actually encouraging you to put the same 3 names on all 4 cards. Then what we've asked you to do is to place one of those cards in our fish basket up here, hanging from the boat, okay? And so this basket is actually full of people that you're sitting around who have put names of 3 friends on this card to say, I am praying for this these people during this series. I'm praying that God would make a difference in our life and maybe that he would use me. And so we've put these in the fish basket. The other 3 are for you to put anywhere you want. I have one on my desk. I have one in a book that I'm reading. I have one sitting in another place that's in my house. And the idea is that every time my eyes are wandering around and I find the card, my eyes see it, it's a reminder to stop and pray again for my friends. Okay? Hopefully you're doing that. If this is your first week of the series, we've got the cards out there. We'd love for you to pick one up and join us by filling one out, coming at the end of service, dropping one in the basket, keeping the other 3 and putting them in a place where you pray for them, not just during the series, pray for them for as long as it takes. A reminder to pray for some specific people, and maybe this week you can find a way to share your faith story. Once you've written it, kind of practiced it a time or two, maybe you can make it your goal to share your faith story with at least one of the people on this card. And so to help us pray for that, Bob's going to come up right now. And we're going to pray over our fish basket. We're going to pray for the people in the fish basket and pray that God would make a difference in their lives. And Bob's also going to help us pray that we would have the boldness to go talk to those people. After he prays, we're going to worship Jesus because he's the one who saves us. And we're going to give back to him in our tithes and offerings. If you're a guest, we do not want you to give. This service is our gift to you. But for those of us who are part of Genesis, it's our chance to give back to him. And we're going to celebrate the greatness of our God. Okay? So Bob, lead us in prayer.
Before I pray, I want to tell you a fish story. We go fishing in February. All of us men go down there. And one time I was fishing, Stephen was in the boat, and Andy Hubbard was in the boat. And the water was running, which means the water's running about somewhere 15 to 20 miles an hour. And we were fishing along, and I caught a pretty good fish. I'm the person who runs the motor in the boat. And so I got distracted by this pretty good fish. And the boat started to go sideways, and Stephen says, Dad, I think we got a problem. And I said, what? And we're going sideways, and there's a dock coming up. And we hit that dock pretty hard. So I one-handedly, because I got to keep the fish in the other hand, hit this dock. So Andy was pretty upset, and we started to kind of tip like we're going to, like, go underneath the dock. So I was pretty excited about that, but I still had the fish. I couldn't let it go. So we pushed the boat out a little bit, you know, and so I started, I still got it. It's a good fish. We hit that dock again. Bam. And then we got away from there, and we all, like, checked, and And I did get the fish. It was a really nice fish. We thought about, man, that was close. We thought this could be the end, you know. And we left a permanent mark on that brand new dock that we hit. I mean, it was a big chunk out of it. So I could have, like, stopped fishing and never fished again. But I continue to fish, have a great time. I've caught a lot of big fish since, a lot of fish. And what I'm telling you is that if you tell your story, your faith story, you will hit a dock every once in a while. And it will knock you, and it will make you think, is this worth it? But it is worth it, because there's a lot of fish, there's a lot of people, and God tells us to go out and share our story, okay? So let's pray for the people in the fish basket and for ourselves to make us bold and go out and do what God has commanded us to do. Lord, we thank you for that you've put people in our lives that you have showed us that they need God, and we put their names on this piece of paper. Lord, help us to be diligent about going out and finding ways to invest in these guys' lives, to grow them closer, and to show them as an example of our life that we have Christ and what value we put on him. We thank you for our church, and help us to continue to praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.